What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders Podcast. I am Gary Kester with you as always. And with me as always is Hani Amadian. Hani, how are you doing on this very fine Tuesday evening?
It's just another, I feel like I do this as my intro to these podcasts way too often, but just another very calm week in Lakerland. I definitely haven't spent way too much time looking at my computer screen and typing on a keyboard and getting carpal tunnel syndrome, but everything is great.
We're going to start a GoFundMe to get you some of those like blue light glasses so that your eyes don't just strain and start twitching while you're writing up all these articles and quotes and whatnot. It's been an interesting past few days, and interesting is probably an understatement, but before we kind of dive into this, as always, if you like the Lakers Outsiders podcast, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, on YouTube, and on Podbean. You can find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, go ahead and leave us a review. And if you have any questions for the podcast, you can leave it in an iTunes review, and it is guaranteed to get answered. So that's how, if you have any questions, just drop them in an iTunes review and we will be sure to get to those. And they'll get answered probably on the very next podcast as soon as those drop in. So, all right. So without further ado, let's talk about what's gone on with the Lakers the last few days. Magic Johnson went on First Take, ESPN's First Take, with Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, so on and so forth. And dropped some bombs that I wasn't exactly expecting. But yeah, he basically lets it known, I mean, on live TV, that Rob Pelinka kind of betrayed him and was kind of starting rumors behind his back at the Laker facility and to other Lakers employees. And word got to Magic about that from multiple parties, and basically kind of let it slip that also multiple agents called Magic and warned him about Rob Pelinka when he took the job, and just a long list. I mean, he was on First Take for a while and said a lot of things. Hani, I'll ask you this, because I was very surprised that the substance that Magic really brought to that show, because we all kind of knew a few days beforehand that he was going to be on the show, but I didn't think that he was going to really give that much detailed info. How surprised were you that he basically shared the things that he did?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I was surprised by what he, like, that the content of what he said, because I think a lot of it were things that were speculated or reported or whatever. But the fact that he did say it on national television and brought it to light and kind of confirmed all those things, that was definitely very, very shocking. For somebody who, like, since he resigned, Magic has been very adamant that he's still going to be helping the Lakers in recruiting. He's been having dinner with Jeannie Buss, saying how much he loves her. For somebody like that, who has been saying all that stuff, to go on national television and really, as if the Lakers weren't embarrassing themselves enough over the past month, just adding more to that, was definitely really, really shocking.
One of these podcasts, we kept mentioning, like, every time the Lakers hit rock bottom, they go and find another way to sink lower and lower. And we're like looking back at, oh, that rock bottom was actually not that bad. I think it was Anthony that brought up that point. But
yeah,
that's where I just keep getting with this team. It's like every time they make national news, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, what are we doing? I was just like, I thought Magic was going to go on there and just, you know, kind of explain some things, like, oh, this is what we wanted to do. We weren't able to do this, blah, blah, blah. Just kind of justify maybe some of the moves or whatever. But it was just a full on, it just seemed like a full on attack on Rob Pelinka. And I mean, this comes, what, a day or two after the Lakers really made it official that through, I think, Ramona Shelburne, that Rob Pelinka is kind of in charge now. Like, he is the GM, and they're not going to hire a president of basketball operations. It was a made up position for Magic to really kind of step into. And yeah, there's all the talk about Magic not being around. And that was something that I had learned last year, last summer, that he wasn't around very often, which I guess a lot of people kind of brushed off, because it was like, you know, he has a ton of other business ventures and stuff like that. And fact of the matter was, I think at the time, everybody you know, brushed it aside because he helped land LeBron James, right? That was kind of what he was there to do. But at the end of the day, he was, you know, there to make basketball decisions. And that was supposed to be kind of the hierarchy, was he was supposed to be the final say on that stuff. Of course, Genie's going to have the final say on everything as the owner of the team. But yeah, I was shocked when I had forgotten what time he was going on. So like, I was just sitting at work and logged onto Twitter, and I saw somebody tweet out the quote, and I thought it was a joke that when he called out Rob Pelinka, that he was very specific that when it came to the betrayal, it was just Rob. And I seriously thought it was a joke. I thought somebody, it was like a parody account or something, but I was blown away. I was just blown away that he was that explicit in what he shared. So
my experience with it was, I knew that the show was starting at 7 a.m. Pacific time. I didn't think that Magic would be on right away. So I was like showering and all that, get out of the shower, open my laptop, pull up ESPN. And as soon as I open it up, he's already talking about like Pelinka being the person that backstabbed him. And I'm like, already? I was 2 minutes late and I missed the meat of that.
Yeah, man, it was just, gosh, he's just dropping bombs all over the place. It was pretty crazy. And I mean, another layer to it was after the fact that, the timing of it too, I thought was just awful. I mean, the day that the Lakers were going to hire or announce and have the official press conference for their new head coach, Frank Vogel. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but the timing of it was awful. Just like I thought the timing of Magic stepping down as president of basketball operations was pretty terrible, especially because openly said that he didn't tell Jeannie Buss, he couldn't do it, couldn't let her down that way or whatever. And, you know, then we get the news from Ramona Shelburne of ESPN after the fact that Magic had recently talked to Jeannie and Rob, and basically it was, everything was normal. And him and Rob talked about the draft combine and things like that. And apparently, according to that report, Jeannie and Rob had no idea he was going to go on First Take and say the things that he did. So, what are your thoughts on that? Cause to me, that's like, my question with this is like, I get like maybe some animosity that Magic might have if Pelinka was doing things like that.
Yeah.
I just don't know what his end game is here. Cause like I think he made the Lakers look bad, and I think he made himself look bad. So I'm just not exactly sure what the end game is there.
Yeah, I mean, overall, after everything that happened yesterday, I think there's no other way to look at it as every single person within the Lakers organization, except maybe Frank Vogel, who just got hired, looks awful in the situation. Jeannie looks awful for how she handled hiring people and how she put them in the management structure that she created. Pelinka looks awful for, if true, backstabbing Magic and not talking to him about their roles and how often Magic was in the office or whatever, and kind of trying to gain power underneath him. And Magic looks awful for, as Dan Wojcie of the LA Times put it, front stabbing everybody in the Lakers organization by just very explicitly timing this interview for the day that they had scheduled a press conference and making them, you know, answer all these questions again without talking to Jeannie, who he routinely has called his sister and all of this. So I mean, there's no way for me to look at any of these people and think of them as a sympathetic figure within this entire situation.
Yeah, it's just all a train wreck, man. it's all a train wreck. It's like that. It's like a car crash that you just can't really look away from. It's like, it's just so bad, but it's just, I mean, as people that talk about this team regularly and write about them or whatever, we don't really have much of a choice, but, it's, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, another thing too, with the timing of it, I mean, obviously we're what, 5-6 weeks now from the start of free agency, and the Lakers have had big plans for a while now to get two max free agents, and they got one in LeBron last year, and now they're trying to, you know, LeBron's obviously trying to recruit. I think the main guy he's trying to recruit is Kawhi Leonard. And it's like, with all this stuff going on, I mean, how much do you think Magic sabotaged basically the any chances the Lakers had at signing a major free agent.
I think if you are a free agent who was like on the fence, I think it definitely hurts the Lakers' chances. I don't think anybody is looking at that and not having second thoughts about the stability of this franchise, which again was already under plenty of scrutiny before Magic said all this stuff, but it just it brings a more reputable person publicly with his name behind a name and face behind it saying that you can't trust Rob Pelinka, which is something that we've heard of anonymous agents saying, anonymous executives saying. It was never somebody putting their face and name behind it. And I think that's really significant, especially to an athlete that is trying to make a decision about where he's going to live for the next 4 years or whatever it may be. But I think the optimistic outlook is that a lot of these players do already have an inkling of where they want to go before free agency ever starts, and before right now. Obviously, not everybody is like that. Kawhi's mind might change depending on if the Raptors make the finals or not or whatever. But I think there is some level of optimism that, hey, maybe a player had already made up his mind based on the Lakers brand, playing in Los Angeles and playing next to LeBron, which I think still holds a lot of cachet that, you know, it kind of goes, somehow gets a little underrated because of all this other mess that's going on within the Lakers. And if that's the case, then I think they still have a chance at a lot of these top guys. But as a lot of people have reported, I don't necessarily think that they're the favorite to get any of them. And I don't think that, you know, Magic going and putting all this stuff out there really helps their chances at all.
Luckily for us, Kawhi Leonard is not a human being and he's just a robot. So he can't like be swayed, right? Like there's no emotion behind him. So,
and I mean, we joke, but like he requested a trade out of maybe the most stable organization in like all of sports. So,
right. You know, so maybe he'll be right at home with the Lakers.
He wants a little excitement. He wants to go somewhere where there's a lot of news that's not about him.
I mean, you never know. You never know. I mean, yeah, I think at this point, really, if they get a free agent, it's going to be almost solely because of LeBron James. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you have the Laker brand and all that stuff, and the fact that, you know, they can pitch that, you know, to a guy like Kawhi Leonard that, hey, come on board. Like, we're a legit contender now. You know, the Warriors are still kind of at the peak of their powers, but if they lose Kevin Durant, you know, and they might start to, you know, start to fall a little bit. I mean, at some point, I think all those deep playoff runs are going to kind of really catch up to them, even though they're still kind of rolling through the West, which I think they kind of exposed the West this year as having a lot of good teams, but only one very good team.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rockets were a very good team when healthy, I guess, but the lack of very good teams, I think, is why they kind of, I mean, they weren't really challenged that much. But I think if the Lakers added a Kawhi Leonard, or even stole like Klay Thompson or whoever, they got a legit max guy. Even if it's a Kemba Walker or Jimmy Butler, I think they could be a legit force next year with their young players getting better. I think the team schematically will be a little bit better. I think they'll be good defensively with Vogel. And I liked what I heard with him. And we'll talk about that now. Actually, before we dive in, I guess one positive with Magic's comments, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because we didn't talk about this before we went on, but he brought up Tim Harris and kind of him venturing away from the basketball side of things, because Tim Harris is his job is to run the business side of the Lakers, and apparently had a very loud voice when it came to basketball operations and was trying, basically him and Genie almost kind of seemed to form together to try and keep Luke Walton. And even though Magic openly said he wanted to fire Luke Walton, even though he said he liked Luke Walton, but he just wanted to move on and find a better coach. I guess maybe one positive thing that can come from this is now that it's been exposed, maybe the Lakers front office will have defined roles and people will kind of stay in their lane. I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on that?
I mean, I feel like ever since Magic stepped down, and even before this, but ever since Magic stepped down, the biggest issue that the Lakers have had, and they've had plenty of them, was this like lack of hierarchy. There was no decision maker. Jeannie isn't the type of person to make the decisions on her own. She wants basketball people to make those decisions. But when she doesn't really elevate anybody to that position where, you know, Pelinka was the natural successor and everybody assumed that he was taking over. But it's very clear that they didn't really trust him fully either because of how much Kurt Rambis's power grew and how much Linda Rambis had an influence and people like Phil Jackson from outside the organization even having a voice. The Tim Harris thing is, I mean, first of all, it's mind-boggling that your COO or whatever is having a say in this when he has no like basketball experience at all. And it's also interesting, I don't know if people remember, but when the Lakers went to Philadelphia, or actually they might have gone to Brooklyn to interview Monty Williams in the first round of the playoffs, it was reported that Tim Harris was in that group. It was like Tim Harris, Pelinka, Joey and Jesse Buss, and then Kurt and Linda Rambis, I believe, was the group. So it's, you know, even after Magic has stepped down, Harris has had some sort of role, at least in the coaching search afterwards. It's also completely strange that, you know, Jeannie was listening to these people and definitely also had the same opinion herself to keep Luke Walton. And then as soon as Magic stepped down, they still fired him, even though it was, you know, kind of talked about as a mutual parting of ways. But it seemed very clear that they were firing him. So all of this, the main thing is that it reeks of like, there's no structure and management at all in the organization. And that's why these decisions get convoluted, things get leaked, and these issues keep coming. And, you know, we talked about free agents, and I feel like if somebody like Kawhi does come to the Lakers, it fixes so many issues just right away. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a lot of faith that even with two superstars or three superstars or whatever, that the Lakers would be able to make the right decisions on the margins, given how little structure that there is. And Pelinka did talk about this at his presser, and kudos to the reporter to ask about him, but he is saying that he's basically the top dog in the front office and he reports to Jeannie Buss, and that there's collaboration with guys like Kurt Rambis, who's apparently staying in the same role as a special advisor, but definitely feels like he's a very special advisor. He didn't really fully explain Linda Rambis's role other than her being a good friend or a good person or whatever he said. But yeah, I don't really know what to say about it other than it's kind of insane that somebody like Tim Harris and Linda Rambis and all these people have very, very loud voices in the organization, and the people that were hired to, you know, be in charge of basketball decisions and Magic said this, didn't really have the power to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with the Lakers right now, is that there are so many people that have loud voices that probably, I mean, shouldn't, number one. But it's just, I think they're coming from so many different angles that Jeannie just doesn't know how to process all of it. You know, and it's no disrespect to her or anything, but she obviously doesn't have a basketball background, mm-hmm. right? And she's kind of openly stated as much that she doesn't like to kind of venture into that side of things. But now she's getting just all these things. And Magic kind of said the same thing, that, you know, by the time he would get to her to say what, you know, he thought they should do on certain things, there had already been three or four voices already, you know, pumping ideas into her head. So, I did think that Magic brought up a good point, that until, you know, some roles are defined and there's some structure with the front office and people kind of know, you know, where they stand, until that happens, there's going to be some dysfunction. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be overlap and things like that. So hopefully people kind of understand their roles and try and, you know, stick to their roles. I mean, it's just like having, you know, your on-court product. You know, you don't want, you know, your eighth guy on the bench or your in the lineup coming in and shooting the ball 30 times, you know, thinking he's got to score 40 points.
Why are you subtweeting Lance Stevenson like that?
Oh yeah, I knew you were gonna go somewhere with that. I just didn't know it'd be Lance. I mean, the Bucks game would have been Rondo, right? I think he shot like 12 threes in the first 5 minutes of the game. But no, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. I think you just have to have people in roles that you know what they're good at, what they're bad at, and try and just utilize their strengths and kind of minimize the weaknesses and just go from there. I mean, everybody's hired to their roles for a reason. And I think the front office just needs to find a way to try and, you know, put all this noise behind them and just, and learn from it and just get unified and united and work together towards a common goal. And, you know, because this is such an opportunity for the Lakers this summer, right? With this awesome young core that they have LeBron James, who's arguably still the best player in the world. If not, I mean, certainly one of the top three or four best players in the world. And they've got room for a max free agent and all this stuff. And if they get that free agent, I mean, and they also have the number four pick in this draft, which gives them a number of different options. So this is a great opportunity, and this honestly feels like a pivotal summer that is either going to really set the Lakers up for the next several years, or it's going to be one that could tear them down and really set them back for a while if things don't go well. So this is a big free agency period, big offseason for them. So hopefully the front office just gets it together, gets aligned, and, you know, they can function like a competent front office. So we will see. But I do think they have a competent head coach. Remains to be seen how he does with this team. He's obviously never had a LeBron James on his team before. The best player he's had on his team prior was Paul George, who was very good player, but he's, you know, certainly not the same caliber as LeBron James, even at the age of 34. What were your thoughts on Frank Vogel's press conference? I thought a lot of people came away pretty happy with it. And I was one of them, so I was excited about that. But how did you come away feeling with Frank Vogel's press conference?
I don't know if my standards were really lowered by everything that happened in the morning, but it was a breath of fresh air to hear Vogel talk at his press conference, honestly. And like, he didn't say anything super impactful, but just, you know, a lot of people have said the same thing, but he sounding like an adult in the room and having somebody like that was just enormous for me.
That's so it's weird, right?
Yeah, you just don't expect it. Who would have thought that you know, one of the most valuable franchises in all sports finally found an adult in the room. But yeah, him preaching about togetherness and organizational structure and all that. First of all, pretty ballsy to do that on your first day on the job.
Right.
But
that's such a power move. I love it.
Very much respected, though. And they definitely need to hear that sort of thing, especially from people within the organization. And his talk about, you know, basketball and what he learned from having a pretty bad couple of years in Orlando, being unsuccessful there, and how he's adapted after like the last decade of coaches. I'm very glad to hear him talk about analytics and using that and actually like legitimately give really valuable insight on how he wants to coach the team, both offensively and defensively. It just, like, honestly, this might sound dumb, but it feels really good to have somebody talking about basketball. And that's like something that just hasn't happened for a month since the season ended. We haven't really talked about basketball, which obviously, but it felt good to have somebody actually talking about that and talking about it in a way that was pretty promising about what he's going to do with the team moving forward.
Yeah, we finally broke away from the reality series and became an NBA basketball team again there for a little bit. It was, like you said, it was very nice to see. I thought Vogel, I mean, really treated his press conference like a total pro, honestly. I thought he was a consummate professional, and, you know, I thought he handled questions very well. And there was going to be some tough questions for him because, obviously, he was basically the franchise's fourth choice. He wasn't directly asked in his press conference about Jason Kidd. He was asked afterwards. He met with some reporters, and I mean, even that question, he probably answered about as best he could. I mean, it's a really difficult question to answer given Jason Kidd's criminal history.
I basically said this. I didn't really love his answer. I don't think I would have loved any answer, and I don't think he should have been the person answering that question. But I do respect him, like, actually talking about it, and I think that's at least important.
And that's kind of my issue with the whole thing is that, I mean, just watching the press conference, I was so frustrated, and I mean, it was necessary, but a lot of the questions were for Rob Pelinka about what's going on with the front office. Like, what is happening? Like, and, you know, basically these are questions that should have been answered before Vogel was introduced.
Yeah.
Right. Like the front office kind of set this table, and then basically, you know, they left the table and left Vogel with the check. It felt like, with, you know, with that press conference, because he had to answer a lot of questions, or he had to have a lot of questions answered right in front of him. Especially, I think it was Dave McMenamin of ESPN asking about, and you know, he was like, no disrespect to Frank, but it's kind of the third or fourth option. And I felt really bad for him, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, and I thought I thought those questions should have been answered beforehand, before Vogel really was exposed to him, but he handled it about as best he could, I think. And a couple things that I really, really liked, Hani, like you said, the analytics talk was big. And I think he was, I think it was actually on a radio show, or maybe it was at the press conference. I don't know. It all kind of ran together, but he kind of went into details, at least offensively, how the kind of shots they want to get, you know, starting with free throws and then layups, corner threes, top of the key threes, and then mid-range jumpers. So to hear him kind of say that was very nice, because I feel like the Laker offense hasn't been that detailed in a while, as far as analytics go. And then defensively it was the opposite, right? It was, you know, we want to protect the paint first and then kind of, you know, guard the 3-point line after that. And he mentioned as well that offensively they want to basically be built outside in, right? Defensively is inside out, and then offensively is outside in, and work from the perimeter in and have a perimeter attack, which is really nice, because that's where the Lakers' premier talent is at this point, you know.
Right.
I know, you know, JaVale McGee might be back, so your opinion might change on that.
It's okay. Defensively, he's got us covered. Offensively, we can let him rest a little bit on that.
He'll catch the lobs in the putbacks from the missed threes. So
it'll be fun. Spacing.
So yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great press conference for Frank Vogel. I thought he did just a great job answering those questions, and it had me really excited about him, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Luke. I thought Luke was very personable, and I thought he was a guy that related well to the players. You know, being, you know, a player very recently. He hasn't been, you know, retired from his playing days for very often. So, but I think with Vogel, I mean, he's had success as a coach with that Pacers team. He just kept running into LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Got the two straight conference finals with that Pacers team, but kept running into LeBron's Heat team. And now he has LeBron James. So that's what I'm really excited to see. I'm really excited to see how he incorporates an offense with LeBron James on his team. And another thing too, with Vogel that, I think is going to be really interesting is, I mean, he has this reputation as a great defensive coach, right? And LeBron, as we all kind of know, plays defense when he wants to, or I guess when he absolutely has to. So maybe the fourth quarter of some games, or maybe he waits to the playoffs or whatever. But I'm curious, and I'm still excited that I think Vogel can probably hide some of that and have guys like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram really excel defensively.
I found it really interesting and very honest when he said that not every player is going to be treated the same. I was like, definitely LeBron is not going to be treated the same as everybody else. But it makes sense.
Alex Caruso is going to get the preferential treatment.
Alex Caruso is shooting every shot next year. but yeah, I do that part of his defense, and also how he adjusts to, you know, not having defenses built by having a lumbering giant and Roy Hibbert in the paint anymore, and how he kind of handles that, I think is going to be really interesting too, because he's obviously very talented in scheming defensively, and all the numbers show it, but it's as he has mentioned, it's a very different NBA since his Pacers year, so that's going to be really cool to see how he adjusts to that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much the game has evolved. I mean, since like 2012, 2013, right? Yeah. Like 6-7 years.
It's like Hibbert was legitimately a defensive player of the year candidate year in and year out, and he's out of the league. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. former Laker great. Roy Hibbert. It's pretty wild. But I think I think that's where that Orlando stint can really be helpful, because I think he kind of alluded to the fact that it was kind of almost experimental for him to try and kind of adjust to this new, the way the NBA is played, or the game is played now in the NBA. And, you know, I think having a year off also helped. You know, he kind of got to sit back and watch, and probably, you know, really observe the Lakers, because the Lakers are obviously in the national spotlight plenty, and, you know, really learn some things. And I think that's kind of the sign of a good coach, is a coach that's willing to adapt, right? It's not not a coach that's going to try and really force things to fit their style or their scheme. Like, you adjust based on your talent. And it sounds like that's something that Vogel wants to do. And he seemed genuinely excited about this job, and even, you know, amidst all the turmoil that's going on. And I think his excitement really got me excited. You know, yeah. I could genuinely tell that he's very optimistic and he's very excited. And there's a lot of positive energy there. And I think he's a guy that's ready to get to work. And I'm excited to see what the on-court product is.
Yeah. And it's like self-awareness about himself has me pretty hopeful about, you know, the kind of staff that he's going to surround himself with. Cause he seems like somebody that's, you know, even as dumb as it is that he was forced to do this, but his willingness to have the Lakers have, you know, Jason Kidd on his staff makes me think that he's willing to just get good coaches around him without worrying about, you know, undermining him like Jason Kidd will almost certainly do at some point. But I am really hopeful that Vogel's going to have a pretty good stint with the Lakers.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. We can only hope, right?
Yeah.
eventually, we're going to hit one of those rock bottoms and start to go up. I thought that was going to be the case with the number four pick with the lottery, but then Magic was like, watch this. He was, hold my beer.
It was like a slight peak and then dipped all the way back down. Yeah.
It's like my mood half the time. Oh, all right. One more thing I wanted to touch on. What did you think about Pelinka and the way he handled the press conference? Because obviously he had to basically jump into the public spotlight. I was kind of wondering at the time that Magic was just unloading the clip on him on ESPN. I was like, is Pelinka even going to be at this press conference? And I was like, who is going to introduce Frank Vogel? Because whoever does it is going to have to answer those questions.
Yeah.
And I'll give him credit. I mean, he stepped up there and answered questions. And I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he really answered the questions as best you could have without really going too far into detail and kind of let anything slip or whatever, because we don't know exactly what is and what isn't true. But I thought he handled it pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion on him hasn't changed because of it, but I did think he handled it really professionally. And, you know, taking the high road approach with Magic was well done. And you know, he generally answered every question. He didn't really shy away from many, except I think he kind of shied away from the Linda Rambis one, which is understandable. I don't think there was any way he was going to be able to answer that honestly. But I think he did a pretty good job of answering questions, making sure he got his side of the story, I guess, out there to the media, and then also still trying to make it about Vogel as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like anybody deliberately was like, hey, like, do you think you're a snake or whatever, like everybody else thinks he does, which I guess it's not surprising that if it was true that if Pelinka is a snake, I mean, he is like kind of best friends with the Black Mamba, so and he seems to worship like the ground that Kobe walks on, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's what he tried, like that's the definition he took away from it. I was like, oh, I gotta be like this.
I was a little disappointed we didn't get a single like Bible parable out of him yesterday.
I was a little disappointed that I swear to God he's worn that purple tie to like four different press conferences.
Yeah, all right. So I noticed this because I was literally looking for a picture of him to put on a story. I'm like, is that the same tie?
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, come on, man. I know you're making good money. Like, you gotta. Well, and it's like you make good money before this. Do you not have like more than one purple tie? Very disappointed in you, Rob Pelinka. I thought you did a good job handling the press conference, but I need a more diverse tie choice, tie selection. That's what I'm looking for.
Listen, if you need to, you know, get Kurt Rambis off your back so you can make some decisions, just go tell him to go buy some ties for you. I'm sure he would be more than willing to do that.
You can just tell him plain colors and you'll be fine.
just like make him a burner account on Twitter to use for his enjoyment, and he will 100% go and do that for you.
I'm going to start that Twitter account now. Palinka's Ties. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Hani, thanks for jumping on with me. I'm glad we're actually getting this. By the time we record this, we're getting this done with the sun still out, and it's not late at night. Might get a full night's sleep tonight.
I could actually like speak loudly because I'm not falling asleep during a podcast for once. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. No, this was fun. Hopefully there's not anything as drastic to talk about with this for a while until like draft night or something, but the Lakers always give us stuff to talk about. So we'll be there to talk about it. And if you have questions about it, again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube, on iTunes, and on Podbean. And if you have questions that you want answered on the pod, leave them for us in an iTunes review. Those not only help us out, but it's a guarantee that your question will get answered on the pod. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com.
Read all of our clickbait articles there. If everybody's going to call it clickbait, you guys at least have to click on it.
Those are the rules. We don't make them. All righty. Well, thank you. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hani, thank you again for coming on with me. And until next time, this is Gary Kester with the Lakers Outsiders signing off.
Shout out Shaggy P.